Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Food Friday, October 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we welcome back our friend, author, and baker, Amy Halloran. Amy loves flour and the grains, all sorts of grains. She loves baking. She informed me before the show that it's now cookie season, which was a surprise to me because I thought it was always cookie season. But no, now it's official. The number to call if you want to talk about grains and flour and baking and such with our friend Amy Halloran, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. An hour of flower power with Amy Halloran coming up right after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is Amy Halloran. Amy is a writer and activist seeking to change the way we feed each other, working to add social values and economic viability to farms and communities. She's the author of the new bread basket. She loves the grains and the flour and is a superb baker who can handle just about anything. You got a question? You want to join the conversation as we roll along here? Please do. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Ray. I'm good now that I'm here. No, I'm fine.
It's awesome that you're here. I'm sorry if I sound a bit like Brenda Vaccaro today. I got a little bit of a scratchiness. What happened was my family and I were watching the Mets game last night, and it was a thriller. And they came back and they won. And we all screamed in unison, loud enough for all the neighbors' lights to go on up the street. And I think I might have done a little damage. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I would have brought you honey and lemon, Ray.
That's okay.
If I knew. But I brought you instead cookies.
I love the cookies. Before we do that, you were booked sometime this summer. And I think, did you go on vacation?
I went on vacation. I went up to Canada, and I got to visit a grain farmer.
Oh, no way.
Yep. And I think it was an 1860s flour mill that he helps run, a big historic water-powered flour mill. But this guy, Chris, runs Ironwood Organics, and he tries out all kinds of grains in the field.
Yeah.
It is really
growing them. Wow.
So it was just beautiful.
Did you find anything new or old or antique?
Oh my goodness.
Heirloom?
Oh yeah.
What'd you find?
He grows out lots of antique stuff, including something a lot of things I'd never heard of, but so there's a grain called Red Fife. Now, Red Fife is the grain in Canada that really helped push the grain economy in Canada, the same as Turkey Red did in the United States.
Okay.
So you have these kind of formative wheats, and they're hard red wheats, meaning that they're hard, so they're good for bread. They're red, meaning their kernel is red, not white. And they were mid to late 1800s. And in Canada, they had the revival of Red Fife sooner than we had a revival of Turkey Red.
So when you say red kernel, then is the flour after it's milled red?
No. It just means the bran is redder than blonde, which is the white wheat.
Right.
And most wheat flour is sifted, and so all of that bran comes off, and the coloration isn't really there. But it is, white wheats are now very popular. You can find them in the supermarket, white whole wheat, and the reason that is because that redness has a tannins that give a lot of flavor.
Oh, very
so the
interesting.
White wheats that have the blonder kernels, the blonder bran, that has less
not
taste.
As flavorful.
Yeah,
oh,
and so people are very excited about having a whole grain that is whiter. So I found at my friend's farm, or he showed me,
okay,
the white fife. Now, I didn't even know white fife existed as opposed to the red fife.
Yeah.
So I brought that home, and I just adored it.
Really?
Yeah.
But it has less flavor than the red fife.
It has less tannins. It does. It had the blondness, the whiteness of the wheat allows for other flavors to come forward.
Oh.
So in white wheat, you can get lots, you know, this floral something. This just, you can find distinction better because it's not such a heavy hammer of taste. It's pretty great.
All right. Now, give me an answer to a mechanical question. You said, I think the red fife is a hard kernel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's better for bread. Why? What happens?
Hardness is an indication of protein, and the protein in general is necessary for when you're fermenting a bread. You need to have a higher protein to latch the fermentation onto. Otherwise, it'll rise maybe and collapse. It won't hold it.
So interesting. Amy Halloran is our guest today. It's flour and grain and baking, and 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. You mentioned to me right before we hit the air that it's cookie season. What makes it cookie season except that you're saying it?
Not much else.
Well, fair enough.
It's just me. But back to school, so packing lunches. It's a little colder, so you want to be in the kitchen more. And what really kicked off cookie season for me was Bake for You closing over in Slingerland.
I saw the article. Linda Kindlin was a guest on this show many times. And then I mentioned the article, and you said, yeah, I wrote that. I didn't look at the byline. I apologize, but...
That doesn't matter. I was just excited to be able... I went the last day that it was open and talked to people in line, because I always want to know about the relationship between a customer and a bakery. What is it that brings people in and develops a loyalty and that kind of thing? A lot of people in line, I said, so what are you going to do? They named a few bakeries maybe, but many of them said, I'm baking more. Because...
Oh.
You know, nothing could replace, they felt, the scratch taste that she had.
Her and cookies, good
Her cookies
Lord.
Were really, really great.
So true, so true. The one with the potato chips in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Mama's Little Helper or whatever it was called.
Girl's Best Friend?
Yeah, I guess that was the one.
Yeah.
Really good. Wow.
Yeah, and her shortbread was perfect.
Well, I wish her the best. Is she not bothering now doing anything commercially?
She is going to look for something less physically demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food industry
radio
is
would be a fine angle then.
Yes.
All
yes.
right. So what'd you bring?
So I brought, in honor of Linda, I've been diving into the kitchen, playing with cookies myself.
Ooh.
And I have my friend Ellie Markovich. She's been playing with a cocoa cookie. She wanted to have a cocoa cookie. So I don't think you've tried that yet, right?
I might have.
Have you?
I might have before. While you
terrible?
Were not looking.
Is it
no,
terrible?
No, it's phenomenal.
Yes.
I'll have another little bite. It is so chocolatey. It's insane. It's great. So this is whose recipe?
Ellie Markovich. So she's my best food friend. She lives up in Maine. I got to go visit her in the spring and bake with her up there.
Yeah.
She does something right now, I think, or a little bit earlier today. She does Fermentation Friday.
I'm sorry?
At the University of Maine. She does a fermentation lab many Fridays, and they bake different things. They cook different things. They play with sourdough, pickling, just
cool.
go koji, which I don't even know what
koji.
It is. Koji. It's another kind of fermentation growing thing.
So I did a fermentation show years ago, and of course, my memory being what it is, I remember there were people here and they talked about it. And I have no idea what they said, but it was very interesting, no doubt. This cookie, this cocoa cookie of Ellie.
Yep.
Not fermented, clearly, right?
No, that one's not.
Okay.
She does do a lot of fermented cookies, but this is just a regular straight up butter and sugar, cocoa powder, wheat flour, cookie.
It's a winner. You know what? It kind of reminds me of my dear old mom's cookies, but they had the crinkle, white crinkle stuff on the top. Do you remember those?
Yep.
What do they call those?
Crinkle cookies, I think.
Oh, well.
And I think maybe what that is. I had one of those the other day, Ray.
Did you really?
Yes. That was yesterday. All the way yesterday ago. It feels like the...
This is like an old folks home now. Remember that, Amy? Oh, it was yesterday.
They take walkers in here. We got room.
Okay, fair enough. Well, why don't we just take a break and cut our losses? 800-348-2551. Yeah, it's Food Friday. Yeah, we got cookies. Yeah, Amy Halloran's here. We'll be back. New World Jazz Collective, Composers Collective, I think that's it, the name of that group, and it's Next Stage there with the great Daniel Ian Smith on Barry Sachs. Hey, just a minute before we go into the show here with Amy Halloran, thank you a billion trillion times for pitching in this morning during our lockbox section of the roundtable program. A great morning again. Thank you. You're doing the right thing. If you haven't done the right thing, you can do it 24/7 at our website, wamc.org. You can make your secure online pledge right there. Amy Halloran is our guest, and we are talking, well, we're trying to rack our memories for various things, and we're failing miserably. But the cookies are excellent. We tried a cocoa cookie here from your friend Eva Marie Saint. No, what was her name?
Ellie Markovich.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that was very good. And what is this one here?
That is raisins and walnuts.
No, I don't see the raisins. I see the walnuts.
It's like a fudge. In that the texture is like a fudge.
So these are ground up raisins.
I have a really sturdy Cuisinart. I always tell people, get an old Cuisinart, food processor. Just grind them. I have a big one and a little one. I use them every single day. So I threw a pound of raisins in and a pound of walnuts. Just let them go until they were really, really like a paste.
Yeah.
And then I put them in a container and put it in the freezer.
And that's all there is.
That's all it is.
The only ingredients?
Yeah. Not even any salt.
This is amazing. I got to say, it's kind of a revelation. You've ground up the raisins and they make like very fudge-like consistency.
And this is a riff on another one of Ellie's recipes. She used to teach over at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, and she would do these youth-powered workshops.
Yeah.
And so she would take dried fruit and nuts. You know, usually it was dates, but I happen to have a lot of raisins, and I was thinking of these little truffles. So the other thing you can do with them, not just lay them out in a container, but you can roll them into balls.
Right.
And then you can roll those, like real truffles, in whatever you want. So you can roll it in cocoa, you can roll it in coconut, roll it in a little bit of salt and maybe some chili peppers. Yeah.
Put some melted white chocolate on that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's grab a couple of emails, and then we'll go to the phones with Amy Halloran, 800-348-2551. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Christine writes, can Amy recommend a healthy, easy sprouted grains bread recipe or any healthy bread recipe? Bread's healthy anyway, isn't it?
Yes. It's how we got here.
Okay, well, we'll explain.
So grains are staple crops, right? We did not get this far forward in history to make all of the mistakes that we get to make without eating grains.
Right.
The storage capacity of grains is, for in terms of calorie and energy. Is really terrific. So if you want a... There's two ways to think about it. I want a whole grain, multi-grain loaf.
Okay.
A loaf is generally never easy. A yeasted loaf takes a little bit of work. So if you want a really easy thing, you could go for, say, an Irish soda bread. Now, that is a quick bread that uses baking soda, buttermilk or yogurt and water, whichever you have.
Yeah.
And whole grain flour.
Ah.
And often it has raisins. Sometimes it has caraway seeds. And so that's quick. And if you want quick and easy, healthy.
Okay. You can what also, makes it healthier?
Oh, because it's whole grains and it has all the fiber.
Okay.
And the you got the bran, the germ, and the endosperm in a whole grain flour.
Gotcha.
Those are all three parts. If you want to use sprouted grains, that's going to get a little more complicated. And there is a bakery down in Pennsylvania called Columbia County Bread. Because I think it started up here in Columbia County, that uses entirely sprouted grains. And you can do stuff to manipulate that to make a loaf, but that requires sprouting the grains, which is literally soaking them, helping them grow.
How long does it take?
Oh, a couple days.
Okay.
Because you don't really want long, you don't want like sprouts that you would put on a sandwich. You just want a little tail, just the very beginning of
right.
growth. And then you grind that up in your food processor or a meat grinder, you know, old school.
Meat grinder's a little coarse, isn't it?
This bread is coarse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really nice, but it's going to take a little work. And then sourdough, of course, is applauded and lauded for its health qualities because it's digesting. Going back, wind back a second to the idea of these seeds that we are eating. Other creatures want to eat those seeds in the field. So in the plant's reproductive interests, which don't really involve us.
No.
They have formed phytic acids, which prevent digestion so as they would get eaten by animals, the phytic acid would allow it to keep going through the digestive systems
right.
and grow again.
Okay.
So fermentation, sourdough, or some suggest that even a long-term refrigerated rise with a little bit of yeast could also digest some of the phytic acid and make it easier.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
All right. Amy Halloran is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the number. You ever do pumpkin bread?
Sure.
No. My daughters, we try to go up to southern Maine in the summer for a week or two sometimes. And there was this place up in Kittery called Warren's Lobster House.
Uh-huh.
I'm never really a pumpkin bread fan. But these kids for years have raved about this. One of my daughters got the recipe somehow
Ooh.
And made it, and I tried it, and it's just insanely good. What's the trick to a good pumpkin bread?
Like everything else, it's ratios.
Yeah.
It's just getting everything to the right combination for the texture that you want and need. And these vary, you know, like for cookies, if you're going for, you know, a chewy cookie, it's going to be different than something that's the chewy crisp mix. It's just about the ratios of the flour and the fat and the
right.
sugar.
It's so good. All right. One more email, Amy Halloran, and then we go to the phones, 800-348-2551. I still have to try the other cookie over there, but we'll do that in a little bit. Amy in New Paltz, another Amy. Okay, that's two now. That's you and the one in New Paltz. She writes, I'm so glad you're on today. I'm an avid baker, consider myself relatively competent in the baking arena. The one thing that I constantly struggle with is the blind baked pie shell. I've gotten better at it, but well, why don't you open your eyes? But consistently, my pie shells shrink and pull away from the pie pan. I always let my pie dough rest before I bake it, and I use a lot of pie weights. Do you have any suggestions for the perfect blind-baked pie shell? Amy, I know many a guest has told me over many years what the blue blazes of blind-baked pie shell is. You got to remind me.
Okay, so in order to keep your crust from getting soggy, you've got to bake it ahead of pouring in the ingredients.
Okay.
And so the strategies are to put something on top of it, you know, like little, some people use beans.
Yeah.
Some people use, I have a set of these little ceramic beads
yep.
that go in there. You will get shrinkage in your dough, I think, especially if you're over mixing your dough. I'm guessing. I'm happy to be corrected on this. Happy to be corrected if I'm okay. Just speculecturing.
Well, that's okay.
You know? But I would think that shrinkage would come if you're overworking the dough. And the key with pastry is you really don't want to overwork it.
So interesting.
Yeah.
If I ever bake, I'm going to remember that.
Yes, don't overwork it.
No. That's pretty much my motto. Amy Halloran is our guest. We'll go to the phones. 800-348-2551. My voice is a little off, and I made a crack about, you know, sounding like Brenda Vaccaro. And Susan in Sunderland, Mass. said, thanks for the shout-out to deep, breathy-voiced Brenda Vaccaro, who played many film and TV parts, most notably earlier in her career, the prostitute in Midnight Cowboy. Brenda is my second cousin. Her mother, Christina, was my dad's first cousin. Their Italian immigrant moms were sisters. I met Brenda once and Christina twice. The second time was at her very upscale Dallas restaurant, Mario's, now long gone. Go Ray, go Brenda, go Vox Pop. And that's from Susan in Sunderland, Massachusetts.
Awesome.
So how many degrees of separation is that now?
Oh, man. We know everyone between us.
So, well, that's what happens when you're old. All right, but you're young, obviously. I'm very old. Let's go to Patrick and Troy. Patrick, you're on.
Thanks. Hi, Amy. How are you? It's Patrick.
Good. How are you?
I think you know who it is. Good. I think you know who it is. Listen,
it's Patrick.
So I've always enjoyed baking, and since I've been retired since the beginning of the year, I've had an opportunity to do more experimentation and playing with that. The problem that I'm running into is that flour and carbohydrates have a bad rap right now. So the products that I make and experiment with, I don't have an audience for, and I end up eating too many of them myself. So nice. I'm wondering if there is a, you know, what direction you could point me in for a flour. You know, as I'm told as well, that the flour before it became super processed was not so laden with simple carbohydrates that turned into sugar as soon as we consumed it. Is there a flour that I could access other than what we find in the grocery store, the all-purpose, very, very white, very processed flour that could still make delicate cookies like a sablé? Or a crispy, low, flat cookie. Any direction you could point me in?
Well, so I'm trying to decide which part of this to address. So those kind of cookies really rely on a fine flour. You might want to look for a recipe that uses semolina flour, but the idea that this is a sudden thing, that flour is lots of carbohydrates that's going to spike your blood sugar, it's always been that way. It's just we had more active lifestyles.
Yeah.
The genetic modification hasn't even hit wheat in the market yet. So plant breeding has changed wheat so that it's better for industrial manufacturing, but it's not just that it's carbs that is wreaking havoc on our metabolisms. So I just wanted to address that a tiny bit.
All right.
I would turn toward recipes that use a nut flour or just ground nuts if you want to make something that's got less carbohydrate in it, because flour is carbohydrate.
Okay.
And also lean toward something that is more fibrous. If you have some recipes that have flax in them, recipes that have chia seeds, recipes that use bran and wheat germ, those are going to be less blood sugar spiking because the fiber slows down the digestion. And so like a carrot bread that has shredded carrots and not too much sugar. Fiddle around with that.
All right, Patrick, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. It's Amy Halloran today. And let's go to Catskill. Dan, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
You bet.
Well, that's great. You know, I always perk up when you have gluten-free recipes, and you started talking about the raisin and walnut fudge, and I thought, well, that's for me. And you said that you use a pound of raisins, and then you left me hanging, Amy. How much walnut?
Oh, you just use a pound of walnuts, too. You just,
all right.
Just
well,
open up a pound of them and a pound of them, and then maybe put a few extra walnuts on top.
And then you refrigerate it.
Well, yeah, after you flatten it out while it's still, and actually I keep it in the freezer.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's really good, Dan. Gotta say, I like it a lot.
I'm going to go for it. That's great. Thanks so much.
Have
cool.
fun.
Love your show.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. It's Amy Halloran today, a writer. Hey, how's the book?
Oh, it's...
taking your time?
It's taking its time.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, so do you just find yourself with what they used to call writer's block?
A little bit writer's block. A little bit... I really like the research part.
Yeah.
And so I've been spending a lot of time... meeting with some relatives and learning about my great aunt who...
Okay, before you go into that, remind listeners who may not have heard you describe it before what the goal is, what the project is.
So I'm writing a book about the twinned histories of the rise of factory bread in America and the emergence of the modern American woman. And I'm looking at that through the lives of... the women who baked me in my family, not my mother's generation, but the generation earlier.
Yeah.
And a woman I've discovered who grew up in Cohoes. Her name is Minnie Emily Greenaway. She wrote three books that were published. And one of them is Memories, All Wool But the Buttons, Memories of Family Life in Upstate New York.
Now, when was this written?
That was published in 56.
Okay. So the memories go back into the last, into... not the last, but the century before last, end of 1800s.
At the very beginning, yeah. And yeah. She, coincidentally, went to elementary school with my grandmother and great aunt and great uncle. And her father was a baker. So I have this great window on her father's ideas about baking. I also landed on her her papers. Her nephew has been... kind enough to share with me some of her unpublished works.
Oh.
And so I have this treasure trove of material that I keep. And coincidence being the guidance we all need.
Yes.
In 1924. So I was chasing around her father through the city directories. So the because I wanted to see what bakeries he worked in.
Right.
In 1924. They lived right behind me.
Oh, that's right. You told
me
this.
Right behind me. And she was going to SUNY Albany. Well, she was going to the state teacher's college to learn business education. And so she was taking the trolleys over from behind my house to down to Page Hall, all of that. And I found her short stories up at the UAlbany Archives.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So your research, you love research, and the writing part is a little more annoying.
It's a taxing.
Okay. All right. So when can we expect this? 27, 28?
Yeah.
All
yep.
Right. All right. Hurry up, baby. All right. One more call, and then we'll take a break. 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran's our guest. Susan is in Duanesburg. Hello, Susan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You're on.
My question is about sourdough. First, thank you for taking my call. My question is about sourdough starter. I tried it probably four or five times, and I followed a certain woman's whose cookbook I have, her step by step, and I have not been successful. I get to about day five, and then the starter goes flat, and nothing happens. Can you? Do you have a certain recipe that you are, or a technique that you follow to be more successful with sourdough starters?
Well, my technique is to never start one by myself.
Ah.
Because everybody who bakes sourdough, bakeries that use sourdough, they are going to be generating extra sourdough all the time. So it's bakers are very generous with their sourdough. And then maintaining it is enough. You, as soon as you take possession of a sourdough, it starts to get familiar And
no, wait a minute. What does that mean?
Your bacteria, your environment, your household, yourself are becoming one with the sourdough.
So my bacteria is going in the sourdough. Yes. That's not an appetizing thing. All right, Susan, go ahead.
And
well, it kind of has been like that because I would take care of it, and every day I would look at it, and I would follow the recipe. But my friend actually gave me some starter, and I was successful making bread with it, but I thought I would try it on my own. But you think it's better just to get another starter from
because
that's more developed?
I just don't see the point. And I mean, there's some people are really into a very young starter, very fresh starter. That's not me. I really like having my friend's fingerprints, literally, in the sourdough that I use. My my friend Ellie, the sourdough that I use was developed by a late friend of hers who lived here, a woman named Phyllis.
How long ago?
Phyllis must have done it sometime at least 10 years ago.
Amazing.
Maybe 12. She made it using some pineapple juice. And I love that it has Phyllis in it, it has Ellie in it. It traveled to me. And now I just keep it going. And I actually had a little catastrophe this summer when we were having some construction at our house. My son was building a deck on the back of the house.
Nice.
So I was the camp cook, and the camp cook used up all the sourdough one day, and so I had to get some more from Ellie, and I started it all over again.
So cool. All right, Susan, you want to follow up very quickly? We have a break to go to, so go ahead.
No, I appreciate it. I'm going to, you know, using my friends, but part of me just wants to try it on my own, so I don't know. Just real quick question. If I do want to pursue to do my own, which I'm not really sure, is it better to start it with wheat flour or white?
Well, they're both wheat. It's just, you mean whole wheat or sifted?
Whole wheat or?
I think that it's better to go for whole wheat and whole like wheat. A combo of both of them, but a steady combo so that you are getting the sugars that are in the white sifted flour and the enzymes that are on the whole grain, on the bran. And I would suggest if you can get your hands on some rye flour, rye is very busy enzymatically. And that is I keep a rye starter in the house, just strictly rye.
All right, Susan, we'll have to leave it there. We're overdue here for a break. Amy Halloran is our guest. How do you know all these things? 800-348-2551 is our number if you have a question, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Dave Holland, Big Band here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Amy Halloran is our guest, and it's grains and flour and baking today. By the way, just off the top of your head, how old is the oldest continuous sourdough? It's got to be what, 100, 900 years, 1,000 years?
No. Is it really, really that old, or is it made each time it's new? I had the writer Kate Cohen from Del Mar.
I think I know her.
You should know her.
Yeah.
She's a great writer. She asked me this question, and I hooked her up with a sourdough expert to see if it's like a metaphor or is it really
old.
A continuous
okay.
line.
Okay, and what's the word?
I'm pretty sure that you couldn't carry it, the metaphor, that it's the sourdough is reinventing itself each time.
So then why did you have to go back to Eva's house in Maine to get the stuff? Or not Eva.
Ellie.
Ellie, right.
Because Eva's my grandmother's name.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
You got it. You got it.
Let's get a Ouija board in here. Don't do that.
We're going to do that for Halloween.
No way.
Your Halloween guest isn't coming. I can intuit this. It's all spirits.
We got enough dark spirits in this place already. I don't need any more. 800-348-2551. So go on.
I forgot, Ray. I'm off
the
track.
We're talking about the sourdough and the age of the sourdough and the metaphor and Kate Cohen.
Yeah. So you basically are, to make a sourdough, you are taking, you have to take out a little bit each time and bake with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's called discard, but it's not. If you're managing it right, you just use it at the right moment of its life to keep going.
Yeah.
Or you make pancakes, you make cookies, you make a, you can even make a cake with a sourdough.
Pizza crust.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course, pizza.
Guy out in the Pittsfield, I think. I think Baba Louie's is sourdough.
Yeah,
it's really good.
There's a lot of people who use great. Yeah.
Okay. So that's all?
That's all. I'm
all right,
going too far, too
while,
astray.
While you, listen, when you and I are together, it's never astray. It's just a winding road. Hey, the oatmeal cookies are fantastic. Do tell before we go back to the phones.
So they are from a fabulous new cookbook by a baker I really admire in Canada. Her name is Dawn Woodward, and she has a little cookbook called Flour is Flavor, and she is one of the biggest advocates for regional grain systems and whole grains and all, you know, using all the grains that a farmer can grow, because to encourage biodiversity, you have to eat your buckwheat, for instance. You have to eat your heritage corn.
Me?
Eat your bloody butcher.
All right. What's a bloody butcher?
Bloody butcher is a style of heirloom corn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pray continue.
And so anyway, she has a great new cookbook out, and it's called Flour is Flavor. And that cookie she developed for her daughter, and it's got oatmeal, and I used rye flour instead of oat flour because I had more
it's
of
cool.
that.
It's
love
really
the rye.
Good. A little
right?
spice to it.
And instead of eggs, it uses chia seeds. So this is a really high fiber.
Hang on. Stop.
Yeah.
Chia seeds. Replacing eggs. Explain.
Okay.
They're not the same. They're not even close.
But there are so many. I mean, people, you're going for this predictable entity, right? But it you can get there in a lot of ways. So the texture, you grind up chia seeds or you grind up flax seeds and you make a fake egg. With just water. This is a substitute because it's giving you the binding action, the viscosity of the egg.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical still, but okay.
You like the cookie?
I do like the cookie.
Yeah.
But how do I really know there's chia seed eggs in there?
Why would I lie,
Because Ray? You know what? Everybody's telling falsehoods nowadays. All you got to do is look at the news. Let's go to Annie in Woodstock. Annie, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
I appreciate it. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
I'm wondering, could you please be so kind as to share with us your absolute best recipe for breakfast biscuits?
So just like biscuits? Or are
just
you
like
looking...
biscuits.
Oh, I talked right
no,
over
my,
you.
No, I'm so sorry. The reason I asked, my father used to make biscuits with his dad who ran a little bakery in Lynchburg, Virginia called the Stay Clean Bakery.
Oh.
And literally with a handful of white flour, some water, and some Crisco, he made the most wonderful biscuits. I've never been able to replicate them. And there must be a way to make a good, fluffy, perfectly rising, scrumptious breakfast biscuit.
Mm.
And if there is, you'll know.
Oh, there's so many ways to do this. And I don't think you should listen to what I say because I don't ever listen to me. That's why.
Well, thanks for being on the show. That's fantastic. That's great.
I just think you should follow a recipe. And there are some great Southern bakers who really have nailed down. I'm content for my biscuits to be my vision of a biscuit, which is whole grain. And sometimes it's going on, you know, under a sausage gravy, and sometimes it's going under strawberries to make a strawberry shortcake. So I have my own vision. To go for your vision, I would look at old Southern cookbooks or Cheryl Day, who she wrote the Back in the Day Bakery cookbook. She's going to have some really good biscuit techniques. There's lots of things you can do to get a really high rise. You can, I wish I had, but the Southern biscuits, he probably used a soft white wheat. So soft wheats are great for biscuits, and there's going to be special techniques. So I just encourage you to look for a recipe.
Did he make it with the red eye gravy, Annie?
Oh yes, lots of pepper.
That sounds good. Hey, good luck with that. Thanks for the call. Our guest is Amy Halloran. A couple people have written in about sourdough. So before the next phone call, a couple quickies here. This is from Bruce in Plainfield. Sourdough starter. I second the recommendation to start with rye flour when trying to create a sourdough starter. Then once it's going, shift to feeding it white bread flour, and after a few feedings, it'll be a regular white wheat flour sourdough starter. I created my own starter, but also keep my mother's starter from 1981 going. That's a, 43-year-old starter.
Good thing.
Does it ever just burn out and say, God, this is too old now?
No, because you're constantly refeeding it. You're refreshing it.
Right.
You're giving it new sugars and bacteria to digest.
So are you just keeping it going just for reminiscence sake or sentimentality?
I don't think it's sentimental at all.
No?
I think it's magical.
Ah.
More magical than sentimental.
Interesting.
Because when you see, like, okay, so you feed your sourdough at night, you go to bed, and you think, oh, my goodness, I'm going to bed. What's happening tomorrow?
Right.
You wake up in the morning, and there's those bubbles in the jar. You think, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Because it's lively, and it gives you incredible faith. Right there in your kitchen, you can grow something. It's beautiful and inspiring.
All right. Well, while you were answering that question, I mistakenly deleted the second question, and I'm on my phone and can't find it. So apologies if you wrote in, I ain't too swift today. Let's go to Danielle in Albany. Danielle, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon to you both. Amy, I was wondering if you're familiar with the cookie, the brown edge cookie, which Nabisco made years ago. If you are, do you know how to make it? And if so, do you have a store where I can buy it?
I don't. This is not ringing a bell. A brown edged cookie?
What?
Like Nilla wafers?
It was called brown edged. It was like a vanilla, like a shortbread, but the edge, the perimeter, you know, of the cookie was brown.
That sounds delicious. My neighbor, when I was growing up behind me, his father was in Nabisco, sales rep or manager or something years ago. We're talking 45 years or more. And I never saw those cookies once. So I thought I saw all of the Nabisco cookies. What do you got, Amy? You're looking it up online.
Yeah. Nabisco stopped making them in 96.
Huh.
But at food.com, you can find brown edge wafer recipe.
Huh.
This is the beauty of when you have, you know, when you have a childhood memory, like I used to make the Betty butter cake, and I knew it was from Betty Crocker.
Right.
And so before I got a copy back of the Betty Crocker cookbook that I got with the little pieces of cardboard, the coupons saved up, I could look online. You Google the name of the specific thing that you're looking for, and usually somebody else has gone down a nostalgia drive.
There's 8 million people commenting on it. Good luck, Danielle. Appreciate that very much. You know what I remember from being a youth was Ring Ding Seniors. Do you remember them? Do you remember those?
No.
I swear to you, I am not making this up. I had them only a couple times, one time at the Catskill Game Farm. They were Ring Dings. You remember Ring Dings, right?
Sure.
They're, I don't know, they're probably still around.
Yep.
Maybe a little bigger than a half dollar in diameter. These were big. These were maybe 5 inches in diameter, but they were very thin.
Wow.
They were awesome.
Wow. Okay, well, right. I'll look it up next time.
If you can't find it on the internet, that means I have bigger problems than even I think. Let's go to Brenda in Ashfield, Mass. Brenda, you're on.
Hi, this is Barbara in Ashfield.
Oh, I'm sorry. It does say Barbara. Okay. Again, I apologize. You're on.
Oh, I have a question. I'm gluten-free, so I'm using gluten flour, and I have difficulty trying to make it raise. I have problems with the yeast trying to raise that flour.
Are you using a specific gluten-free recipe?
Yes. Well, yes, but I'm also trying to make a stolen. And it wouldn't rise. I was using a gluten flour. It just wouldn't rise. It rose some, but it wouldn't rise enough.
For gluten-free flours and yeasted, I mean, for gluten-free flours, period, whatever you're baking, you really should use a recipe that's specific for gluten-free flours. And then often they'll specify what brand, because there's so much going on with what they're trying to replicate in terms of activity in baking that you really need to work with someone who's done all the test baking. King Arthur is great at really spelling out a lot of these recipes. I'm pretty sure Bob's Red Mill has a lot of recipes as well. So just poke around for a stolen recipe, gluten-free, and you should have better luck if you find a good recipe and use the flour they recommend.
Okay. Thank you.
Barbara,
good luck.
Thanks a lot. Going to Jerry with a G in Troy. Jerry, you're on.
Well, hi. I just want to say hello to Amy.
Hi, Jerry.
And to you, Ray.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to know, I'm just asking Amy, because she knows it so well, if I put starter in my refrigerator, it would get all kinds of varieties of bacteria. bubbling up on your jars now, and I don't see any starter recipes.
That's so funny.
Hey, Amy, you know it well. So
I
I'm
do.
Thinking I could rent out my refrigerator to people who want different varieties
a sour,
of bacteria and their sourdough.
A Troy sourdough library.
Genius.
Absolutely, and I'll be the librarian.
Absolutely.
There is actually a sourdough library. In Europe.
Really?
Oh,
you can go and get little starter?
You can store your starter and they feed it.
Oh, boy.
Well, the other question is, when the sourdough grows, do you think it'll do the cooking for me?
Oh, that's great. So suddenly we're all on lithium. That's wonderful. That's great. Well, thank you, Jerry, for that one. We're wrapping up
anyway,
the show.
Anyway, it's great to see where Amy has come from, the little girl I first met many years ago.
Oh, that's nice.
Jerry, anyway, Jerry mothered me, whether she wanted to or not.
Oh.
Or not. The or not part, yes. Anyway, I won't take any more of your time.
Oh, Jerry, thanks
for calling.
Take care.
Jerry just had a good set there. That was pretty good stuff. Funny
She's
stuff.
She's a great woman. I have to shout out to my own mom there, who is really a great woman, too.
Presumably, she wanted to mom.
She did. She did.
Alice writes, and have you ever thought about teaming up with a writer who could help you by doing the writing based on your research?
No, I really do like to write. It's just, no, because no one would want to work with me.
Well,
oh,
I like to work with you. I mean, every few months. not every day, obviously.
This is the thing with writing. I've thought maybe I should get a writing coach or a bully, like somebody to sit there and bully me into writing.
Who just says, get going.
Get going. What are you doing? Don't get up and bake.
Well, you know, we every now and again we'll do a writer's forum, and they'll tell you that some people don't even think there's any sort of trick to it. You just get up and you start writing.
Yeah.
No?
It depends. You see, I think the trick to writing for me is that I need someone to want it. Actually, the motivation for anything. Today, I was baking for Ray. It was great.
Yeah.
I got an audience in mind. That audience is too abstract.
Really?
Yes.
So why don't you just have people come over and watch you write? Hey, Amy, we're done here. How do people find out more about your goings and comings?
Okay, so amyhalloran.net for lots of information on fresh flower resources. amyhalloran.substack.com for my newsletter, Dear Bread, where you can learn about the book and all the people in it.
Well, Amy Halloran, we'll see you sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Ray.
Support comes from Barrington Brewery, Great Barrington, announcing the return of Oktoberfest on Sunday, October 20th. Oktoberfest beer and food, music by Otto Umpa Band and the BTUs, info at barringtonbrewery.net. Honest Weight Food Co-op, Albany, a grocery for all, offering gluten-free, vegan, and organic options, open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. HonestWeight.com for more. Foresight Land Services, for over 50 years, offering civil engineering, and planning and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York, ForesightLand.com. And Capital Region Vegan Network hosting the 14th annual Albany Veg Fest Sunday, October 6th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Albany Cultural Center. Open to the public, donations welcome. CapRegionVegans.org. All right, that's it. Listen, I've clearly lost it. This is Brenda Vaccaro signing off.